Go back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 26 through 31 and read this again. We're talking about little things. Sometimes I think we've got it in our minds that we want to do something big for the Lord. Listen, big things are always made up of little things. Did you know this building we're meeting in right now, this building has brick on the side, this auditorium right here, right? You know what that's made up of? Little bricks. That's right. And those guys put that up. The guys that laid the brick, they had to lay one brick at a time. That's where it works. And it has to start somewhere. That's pretty difficult sometimes. And sometimes I've found that the hardest part of any job is just starting it out. The hardest part of any job is starting out when you don't have anything done. I mean, that's the toughest part. But that's the part that's very, very necessary. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 31, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called." Now, there's a few of those. But most of us are just not mighty. We're not very wise or any of that. God calls us anyway. Verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." And this is exactly what He's done. I mean, it's shown over and over again in the Scriptures. This is the way it is. "And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." This is what God has done. "And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." We said this morning, and we said again tonight, why in the world did God do that? Here it is, in verse 29. "He don't want any of us bragging on ourselves." That's right. I think that's what it says. "That no flesh should glory in His presence." When we see the Lord, we're going to have to thank the Lord that He's given us the ability to do anything at all. And it's God's grace. It's His unmerited favor that He's given to us because we didn't deserve it. But He made us faithful unto Him. "See that no flesh should glory in His presence." Whenever anything is done to further God's kingdom, it's always going to be Him doing it. He's going to use us, though. That's the truth of it. In verse number 30, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." This is the way it is. We glory in the Lord, not in us, not in what we try to do, not in the things that we long to do, not even in the things we dream of doing. But we must glorify the Lord, because He is the one that's really real. Let's go, Lord, into a word of prayer tonight as we begin the message. Lord, I pray that You might help me, Lord, tonight to preach Your truth Your way. Help us, Lord, to understand what You're really saying to us in this passage. And Lord, I pray we might not slip it by. We might not let it slip by. Lord, we might remember, Lord, that You are the source of all power and all strength. Know that when we're weak, then we're strong. I pray, Lord, we might remember that. And help us, Lord, to trust in You and depend upon You every day in which You live, in which we live. Forgive us now for our many sins and bless us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this passage and when I was saved. Do you know when I was saved? It's when I couldn't do nothing. I mean, I couldn't do nothing. When I actually come to the place of giving up and saying, "Lord, You might as well cast me on into hell right now. There's no sense in me living one more minute. You might as well just kill me right now, and I'm going straight to hell, and I know it. I can't do anything about it." That's when the Lord saved my soul. That's when He saved my soul. And that's God wants to use us I absolutely believe that. But God wants us to trust in Him alone. We spoke this morning about Daniel going into Babylon captivity and all the things that he did at the very beginning of him being in Babylon captivity, when his mother and daddy was away from him, when he was by himself. That's when he stood. I think he was a young man at that point. I don't think he's 20 years old. Now maybe he was, but I don't think he was. If he was, I tell you what, you figure out the time, because he was in Babylon captivity for 70 years, and at the end of that, he was put back under authority. And how old was he then? You know, I'm just guessing, but I'm thinking he was a young man when he stood up, and he said, "I don't want to eat the food that the Babylonian king is sending down here. I don't want to eat that. I want some of I want just beans. All I want, beans and cornbread. That's what he wanted." And God blessed him because of that. We studied this morning about David, who in the beginning of him being faithful to God, he was faithful to God in the little things first of all. But that's what we want to emphasize tonight, again, is that if we're not faithful in the little things, we won't be faithful in the big things. We won't be. We've got to be true to God in the little things, in the little everyday common things that God wants us to be true in. You know, some people say, "I want to be true to God in the big things." Listen, all those little things mount to big things. I mean, that's the way it is. We need to be true to God in the little things. Now, tonight, look in the book of Judges chapter 7. And we want to study again about a man by the name of Gideon. And this is a great, great story. If we can ever just get a hold of what's about. Judges chapter number 6. In Judges chapter 6 is where we want to start. Notice this, that the time was three nations against one. Three nations against one. Now, in Judges chapter 6, this is what the Bible says. It was three nations against one. And there was a lot of them. I mean, there was a lot of them. God would give the victory through Gideon and 300 men. That's where it comes down to. But at the start, at the very beginning of this, there was three nations, large nations. I'm not talking about little nations. I mean, there was a lot of people there that was fighting. The Bible records that there was at least 120,000 of these. We'll read that to you later. I tell you what, how many men did Gideon defeat this 120,000 with? Yeah, if you hadn't studied that for a while, you'd read it again. But there was 300 men that he defeated with. And none of those men had a sword. Not in their hands. They had other things in their hands. Well, that's something to think about. 300 men went up against 120,000 men without a sword in their hand, and God gave them the victory. Well, that's a story we need to be. Well, I think we need to read more about that, because God gave him a great victory. Notice in chapter 6, and verse number 3, the Bible says, "So it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against him." So, here are three nations, at least 120,000 people, that were carrying weapons, that was going to defeat the Israelites. I tell you what, it will take more than that to defeat a people that want to do what God wants them to do. I don't think there's enough people in the world to defeat people that want to do what God wants them to do. I don't think there's enough people in the world. If you want to do what God wants you to do, God will bless you. God will take care of you. I do. God can work things out that you never even thought about. God can bless in such great and marvelous and fantastic ways that you will go away saying, "Wow!" You'll be amazed by it. But these three nations, look at verse 4. And they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. All right? You know what that means? That means they tore up all the crops. Till thou come unto Gaza, which, and left no substance in Israel, for Israel, neither sheep nor oxen nor ass. So there was nothing left. Nothing left. I mean, when these people, when they went in, they took it all. In verse number 5. For they came up with their cattle and their tents. See? They came up and they brought their own cattle and their own tents. The Bible said, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. So what does that mean? They came as grasshoppers for multitude. Listen, have you ever walked through a field in the summertime? I mean, all you got to do is walk. And there's grasshoppers jumping everywhere. You ever done that? You've all done that, right? I mean, where do they come from? They just come. Well, they just jump everywhere. Well, if every one of those grasshoppers was a cow, that'd be full. But they're little. You see, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. Everywhere you looked, there was either a Midianite, an Amalekite, or the children of the East. There was one of these people standing looking at you in the face. For both they and their camels were without number. And we said a while ago that there's 120,000 that was an army. But there was a lot more than an army than that, because the Bible says there was cattle there and they had their tents. And there's all kinds of cooks, all kinds of people there. There's more than 120,000. You got half a million in your head right quick. Real easy. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Whenever it looks like there's more than you can overcome, what should you do? Run and hide. These people didn't run and hide. They didn't know what to do. They did not know what to do. The Bible said, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. This is the major thing. It's major to cry unto the Lord that He would bless you. It's major that we would cry unto the Lord for help. When your children need help, listen, they need God's help. It is nothing so important as for you to give your children to the Lord. There's nothing greater than that. To give all your care to the Lord, because He loves you. He cares for you, right? And when these children of Israel cried unto the Lord, said, well, the Midianites, they just took off. The Amalekites, they just took off. Is that what happened? Well, there's the story before that story. They did leave. But there's a story before that story. And the story happens beginning in verse number 8. Well, verse number 11. There was one preacher. In verse number 8, the Bible talks about one preacher, one prophet. That the Lord, in verse number 8, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, and which said unto them, listen, here's going to be one guy. One guy. One prophet is what it takes. One prophet. And this one prophet came and said, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of them that oppressed you, and I drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. That's the reason I got trouble. It's because they haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord. And God sent them all this oppression with the Midianites, with the Amalekites, and with the children of the east. And they came upon them. In verse 11, here's the story. And the angel of the Lord, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat with a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Here's a man that's full. Here's a man that's full of vigor. I mean, he is doing all he can do to provide for his family. He's just one guy. But he's hiding the wheat that he's threshing out from the Midianites. Because what are they going to do when they take it? When they see it, they're going to take it away from him. I mean, that's obvious. The Bible said they've already done that in verse 9. They're just like a bunch of grasshoppers. I mean, they're pesky creatures. And they just come up and they just eat it all. That's what the Bible says. The angel of the Lord appeared. I tell you what, sometimes you might say, what I do as a little thing, I'm taking care of my family the best I know how to do. Listen, I'll tell you what God says about that. If you're doing the best you can do for your family, here's what God says about that. There's other things God wants you to do, that's right. But right now, it may be that God wants you to hear these words. God may want you to hear these words if you're doing the best you know how for your family. The Bible said here in verse number 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Wow. Was Gideon a mighty man of valor? What had he done? He done nothing as far as fighting the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east. He had done nothing at all. You might say, but tell you what he was doing. He was trying his dead level best to provide for his own family. And God said, you're a mighty man of valor. Listen, it may be tonight that there's a mighty man of valor right here. And God is saying to you, you are trying to provide for your family. And that's what you ought to be doing. That's what you ought to be doing. But look on. In verse number 13, Gideon says unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all this miracle which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, look what the angel of the Lord answered him. He said, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Hey, is this angel not listening to what Gideon has to say? Gideon has a problem, right? The problem is that he don't have enough food to feed his own family. And that's what he's talking about. That's part of what he's saying. But he's talking about all these Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the children of the east coming up against him, and they're just like a bunch of grasshoppers. They take everything. And the angel says, go in this thy power. I tell you what, there is strength in that. Just going in the power of God. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? That's what he said in verse 14. Verse 15. Gideon says, I can't do nothing. You ever thought that? You ever thought, I can't do anything? If God has sent you, you can do something. If God has laid upon your heart to do His work, you can do it. I'm going to say that again. If God has laid His work upon your heart, you can do it. And you need to do it. You need to do that. Then what the Lord burdened me to preach His gospel some years ago. And the Lord has blessed in a great way. And you say, well, I can't do like you. You're not supposed to do like me. You're supposed to do like you. Right? You're supposed to do like you. Do what God wants you to do. And God will bless. Gideon had all of his excuses. But God had a test for him. In verse number 25, here's a test. Now, he fed the angel. He didn't realize what it was. What he was. But he says he's going to die, but he didn't. In verse 25, here's a test. This is the first step. This is a simple little thing. But it's the first step. Listen. Understand that there are steps to take to doing what God wants you to do. There's the step one, step two, step three. Don't ever try to make step four without going through step one, two, and three. Don't try that. Because it won't work. You must do one, two, three. Just in order. Just exactly like God said to do. Alright? Here's what I want you to do first. In verse number 25. It came to pass that same night. It's the same time. That the Lord, not one angel talking to him, but was the Lord that said to him this time. He said, take thy father's bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. And get down the grove, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer the burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Ooh. Wait a minute. Whose oxen are these? It was his dad's. Whose altar was this? It was his dad's. Listen, don't be surprised. If God wants you first to try out what He can do by you just doing what God wants you to do right then. It may be something small. It may be scary. It may be scary for you to step out, but God wants people to step out by faith and trust Him. That's what He's wanting. Notice what the Bible says here. In verse 27, if you think that Gideon was not afraid, you are wrong. Gideon was afraid, and you may be afraid. But when God says you need to do something, you need to do that whether you're afraid or not. Look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night when people were asleep. That's the coward's way out. He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He did what God wanted him to do. Listen, and that's what God wants us to do. Do you see in this? that there's a development of Noah's, of Gideon's spiritual life, that there's that develops as time goes on. All right? And the Bible said here in verse 28, the men of the city rose up early in the morning. Behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove that was cut down that was by it. The second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. They said one to another, "Why, who hath done this thing?" They inquired and asked. They said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing." The men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal." Listen, this is what God wants you to do. Before God wants you to do something else, He oftentimes leads you to be faithful to God where you are. I mean, God can take care of you. God can bless you. But God wants you to be faithful to Him where you are. Right there. You can't be faithful to God in the big thing later and not be faithful now. That's what He's talking about. You must be faithful to God now. The Bible said, and Gideon was afraid of his dad. He was afraid of his dad. And the Bible said in verse 25, he feared his father's household and the men of the city. You could not do it by day. They did it by night. So there was some fear there. Well, it come down to it. Gideon had just obeyed the Lord. Listen, and we've got to come to this. Who is it that can protect us? Who is it that can protect us? Listen, if God can't, nobody can. Nobody can protect you except God. You need to do what God wants you to do. God will always bless. And here's what happened. In verse number 31, and Joash said unto all the men that stood against him, "Will you plead for Baal?" This is his God. Right? This is his God. And he said, "Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one that cast down his altar." I'm thinking here that Joash knew who cast the altar down. I'm thinking he knew that. And to him, it was more important that his son be alive than Baal restored. In verse number 32, "Therefore on that day he called him Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down his altar." Well, that's part of the story. The rest of the story says that there's always a trial. There's always a struggle. You have got to be sure that you are doing what God wants you to do. And God doesn't mind you asking. God doesn't mind when you want to make sure that He wants you to do a certain thing. That's why the Bible talks about this water on the fleece, doing the fleece, and then to do everywhere but the fleece. That's why that's coming up next. In verse 33 down through verse number 40. That's what happened. And all that's for is for us to understand that God knows about us. He knows the things we face. He knows that. And God is willing to give assurance. Somebody would say, "Well, God is a hard God." I tell you what, God is a merciful God as well. There's things God expects of us after He's shown us the truth, but that's what we do. I tell you what, after this, after Judges chapter 6, when God let Gideon put the fleece out, and it was so wet the next morning, and Gideon said, "I want to ask one more time, but this time it's going to be opposite." And so they do it everywhere, but none on the fleece. Did you know that is the last time? That is the last time that Gideon had to have any kind of assurance from God. I won't say that the last time that Gideon asked for anything from God. Now, there was a time after that that God showed him some things, but that wasn't because Gideon asked. It's because God knew his heart. And God knows your heart as well. God knows when you're fearful. God knows when you're just upset about something. God knows that. Rest in Him and have assurance of all that. In chapter 7 and verse number 1, the Bible talks about the time when Gideon went to the army and he had a lot of people there. There was 32,000. 32,000. And this is not a very large force at all. That's against 120,000. It's not a big force at all. I think that's about a 4-1. Well, I had to go into a battle where I had to defeat four guys. I would hate that. God said, that's too many. What? That's right. God said, that's too many. Lest Israel vaunt themselves and they say, by our strength we have done this. God said, you tell everybody that's afraid, they're gone. They're gone. The Bible said in verse number 3, that there returned 20,000 and 2,000. And there was 10,000 left. 10,000 left. Wow. I imagine Gideon looked around and he said, I wonder why I'm doing here. You reckon? He said, well, God said, what I want you to do now, I'll shake them down to the brook and let them get a drink. He took them down to the brook and they got a drink. And God divided the men according to the way they drink water. So, well, that is some more test. You would think that God wouldn't do that. You'd think that God would have another test of swordsmanship or maybe shooting an arrow. Right? But how did God test these people? By drinking water? Well, most of those people that drank water, they got on their knees and drank. Then there were those that didn't. They just put their hands in the water, got water out like this, and drank like that, out of their hand. There's 300 of those that's left. God said, okay, send all of them home with 300. So Gideon was standing there with 300 men. How many men is he fighting? In chapter 8 and verse number 10, the Bible said this. And I will start reading in the middle part of the verse. It said, all that were left of the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. That's a whole bunch of people. Of the east. Didn't talk about all the Midianites, all the Amalekites, just about those that were the east. God said, okay, I'm going to take these 300 men, and that's what I want you to do. But it came the night before they were going to battle. In chapter 7 and verse number 9, this is the preciousness of this. That if we just be obedient to the Lord, He will always bless. If you're afraid of tomorrow, if you're afraid of what you're going to do next, listen, just pay attention to what God wants you to do. Just listen to God. God can bless you. Understand that that's so. God can take you places that you never thought about you could ever go before. God can bless you in great ways. He can do that. The Bible says here in this place, in chapter 7, verse 9, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I delivered it into thine hand. But if you're afraid to go, here's what I want you to do. See the compassion of God? When you're afraid, God knows it. When you've asked enough times for enough signs and you feel like that you should know, but you're still afraid, you can still trust God. And God will always come through like this. But without fear to go down, go thou with Pura thy servant down to the host. So there's two of you go down there. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. The Bible said, verse number 11, then he went down with Pura his servant unto the house, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So he went down to the very outside. He just went down to the very outside of it. And God had it all arranged. See, God is so good to us. He does this for us. The Bible said, the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east led along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Their camels were without number, as the sand of the seaside for multitude. And they went down there. They heard two men talking. The fellow said, Well, last night I dreamed a dream, in verse number 13. Behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into the tent and smote it, and it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And the other fellow answered and said, I know what this means. Defeat is tomorrow. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So, the Bible said, verse 15, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and interpretation thereof, that he worshipped. Notice this. That Gideon worshipped God right there. Thank you, Lord. And then he returned unto the host of Israel. And he said, Arise, for the Lord has given us all. And then of these 300 men, look in verse number 16. He divides these 300 men into three groups. You talk about a silly invasion plan. Yes, that's why I said. It's one that you might say would be doomed to failure. But nothing is doomed to failure if it's with faith. And Gideon had faith in the Lord. And he took these 300 soldiers, 300, against a vast multitude of people that the Bible said you couldn't even count. There were so many of those. The camels and all the armor that they had. They were so great they couldn't even count them. He divided his company into three parts. Look in verse 16 of chapter 7. He divided the 300 men into three compartments, three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. There's no weapons. How about just a little pistol? No pistols. How about a knife? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. But their weapons were uncharacteristic of anybody going to battle. The Bible said, here's what I want you to do. When I blow the trumpet, verse 18, when I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also in every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Could God give a victory like that? It doesn't make sense. I mean, really, from a tactical point of view, it doesn't make any sense at all. Can God give the victory to me? Can God give the victory to you? If you just do what God tells you to do, God can do that. He can do that very well. In verse number 20, notice in verse 19, when they came and set up their armor here, that they did it at the change of the guard. When the new guard had just come on the scene, not at the when the old guards were there and they were tired. Not at all. Verse number 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. In the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. See that? So this is a time when the enemy is very alert to everything going on. That is exactly what God wants. He wants them to be alert. So what kind of plan is that? You want the enemy to be asleep, right? To be groggy, right? God said, no, I want them to be alert and well on their toes. Because what I have for them is death. He says, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake their pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so the left hand was full and the right hand was full. They had no weapons. They stood up on that and they broke those lamps, let those pitchers shine, and blew the trumpets. Verse 21, here's what happened. They stood every man with in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled unto these other places. God is well able to give victory. This is what this lesson is about. This is exactly what it's all about. But there's a sad note to it all. Gideon was a great judge of the Lord. And Gideon was blessed of the Lord in a great way. But I want you to read in chapter 8 and verse number 32 what happened here. And Gideon, son of Joash, died in a good old age, was buried in the sepulchre of Joash's father and Ophrah of the Abizurites. Look at this, verse 33. It came to pass, as soon as Gibeon was dead, here's what happened, that the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Balaam and made Balaam Baal-Bereth their god. That's a terrible legacy to leave behind. I tell you what, Gideon was a faithful man. Gideon was a very faithful. You see, but the whole thing is that it rests on every individual to do what God wants them to do. It rests upon you to do what God wants you to do. You might be faithful to the Lord now, and I pray to God you will be. But will you be faithful in just a few years? When something happens that maybe the one that you're looking to has died, let me tell you, God never dies. Jesus Christ is always alive. He's always on His throne. And Jesus Christ wants you to be always faithful unto Him. That's what He's wanting. We find that in the early church, there were 12 apostles that God chose first. 12 apostles. How many of them were faithful? 11. There's one failure. Think of it. Will you fail? Will you be one of those that don't stand the test of time? You need to follow God and Him alone. You think about in Acts 2. Turn over and read that. In the book of Acts 2. The Bible says here in this place. Now, just read one verse. Acts 2, verse number 7. When the Jews heard these people speaking in their own language, they were amazed about it all. And they said, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these who speak Galileans?" They knew that those people couldn't understand. They knew that. But God allowed them to speak in these other tongues. In Acts 4, just turn over and read this. This is a good one. In Acts 4 and verse number 13, here's what they said. Acts 4 and verse number 13. "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You see, at this time, in Acts 4 and in Acts 2, this was at least 3 years after they began to follow Jesus Christ. It was at least that long. It's probably some while after that. But those apostles had grown up in the Lord. They had learned what it means to be faithful unto God. They had tried, and they'd been tested as well. I'm thinking of a poor widow woman that cast all she had into the treasury. 2 mites, which make a farthing. And Jesus Christ said about this woman, about her gift, He said she's given more than anybody else. Isn't that amazing? God can bless you. I want you to understand that. God can bless you tonight. If you're lost, He can bless you with salvation. God can bless you with strength. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all if God expects you to pass a test before the big test. Don't be surprised at all that there's some little things along the way that God wants you to be faithful in before He turns you loose on something else. Don't be surprised at all. God might do that. God might do that to me too. Before God ever turns me loose, He wants me to be faithful in Him. That's what the lesson's about. The little things. We oftentimes want to forget the little things. We want to get on to the big things. That's where we are. But God says that He has chosen these little things to give us peace and contentment. That's the way He works. If you're lost tonight, I pray that the Lord will save your unworthy soul. If you're saved, I pray that the Lord will help you to be what He wants you to be. If God is dealing with you in some way, you need to submit to that. And let God do with you as God wants to do. And be obedient unto the Lord. God can bless. Trust the Lord. That's what the lesson's about. Trust the Lord. Believe in Him. Even after you're saved, keep trusting the Lord. It'll end there. Okay? Okay, Brother Brian, would you come please? If you would, if we stand. We pray that the Lord help tonight. If you're lost, right there where you're at tonight, just trust the Lord, Jesus Christ. Let Him come into your heart. Let Him save your soul. Let Him wash away your sins. Let him make you clean. Just do what God wants you to do tonight. Let's stand if you would, who sing, please.